In the Aseret HaDibros, we read on Shavuos, but I guess it's always timely, the Aseret HaDibros. So one of them is Leisirtzach. That means that you're not allowed to kill. So hopefully that doesn't come as news to anybody. Hopefully that doesn't change anybody's plans. You're not allowed to do murder. There's also, as we know well, that mitzvah is one of the Shalosh Chamuros. It's in that group of three mitzvahs that are Yehareg Bal Yavar. The scenario that the Gemara gives for that is that the Gemara tells a real-life story. Somebody came to Rava with an unfortunate story that there's some mob boss in town that told him that if he doesn't go kill so-and-so, he's going to be killed. So he asked Rava, can I go kill that so-and-so to save my life? Pikuach nefesh. V'dech ha-shabes, pikuach nefesh. Rava told him, no, with the famous words, my chaz is adam and idach sumak tfei. Why do you think that your blood is redder than his? Maybe his blood is redder than yours. And therefore you're not allowed to go and kill him to save your life. So that's a well-known halacha that siyahar gbal yahar for siha. Now the kasha on that svara is that, okay, my blood is no redder than his, that's true, but his blood is also no redder than mine. So how do we decide that I'm the one that has to die and he should live because my blood is no redder? Okay, maybe he should die and I should live because his blood is no redder. Both of our bloods are no redder, right? We're equal. So right, we have, right, if this metaphor about the redness of the blood means the value of your life or the right that you have to live, so we both have that equally. So why do I have to give up my life so as not to kill him?
Is it that they're both equal, or just we don't know whose is redder, so that's why you can't do it?
Okay, we don't know, but maybe, meaning we don't know that his is redder either,
no,
so why does he get to
none
live?
None of them is redder, it's just, can you make a mice to go kill somebody?
Oh, okay, so that may be the answer. That's what Taisa says. Taisa's answer, again, to this kasha of good, my blood is no redder than his, but his blood is also no redder than mine. So Taisa's answer is that it's really relying on Shevi al Tasa Adif, that what the Gemara is really saying, what Rava was really telling this guy, he wasn't saying you have to give up your life not to kill him. I mean, practically he was, but in Lamdas, he wasn't saying that the Torah has a position that you have to give up your life rather than him. What he was really saying was that the Torah can't come to a position on this. It's undecided. No reason why he should die, no reason why you should die either. But what do we do if we can't come to a position, if we can't tell you whether to go this way or that way? So we say, remain passive. Don't do an action. You need decisiveness to do an action. If you're undecided, so then you'll just remain passive. So that's really what Rav was telling him, that we can't decide whether you should kill him or you shouldn't kill him. He wasn't telling him you're not allowed to kill him. Even though, of course, practically, he's not allowed to kill him. But not because we have a decision that you're not allowed to kill him, but rather because since we can't decide whether you are allowed or you're not allowed, therefore the rule is that you're not allowed. So I would call that it's a harig val yavar mitam safek. The halacha l'maaseh says, yes, you have to give up your life. But it's not mitam vadai that you have to give up your life, but rather it's mitam safek, and it's because of shevi al tasa, which means that theoretically...
But technically it's not safek. I mean, there's no, you know, we're not taking blood to see who turns red.
Right, it's
in
a tie.
Eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're all the same, right?
Right, suffering in the sense that, not because we don't know whose is redder, either, because we know that neither one is redder.
Right.
So if neither one is redder, so why do I have to die rather than him?
Sure,
so to that, the answer is Shevi Al Tasa, which really means, because since we don't know what to do, so we say do nothing. So it's only because, the only reason why he lives and I die is because that's the passive course of action. Taisa says, theoretically, if you could contrive a case of a shvichas damim that's done without a maisa, then the halacha would be that you're allowed to do it. Is there any such thing? So Taisa gives a case. It's questionable how literally he means it. But Taisa says, for example, let's say the guy would come to you and say, we want that other guy, right? They come to Reuben and they say, we want Shimon dead. We're not asking you to pull the trigger. We're asking you to be the cannonball. We're going to take you, your body, and throw you onto that other person, and that's going to kill him. We're going to throw you from a height, or that other person, Taisa says, maybe was a tinoik, so he's a much smaller, so he'll die from the impact. You won't. We're going to use you to throw you onto the victim and kill him, and otherwise we'll kill you. So now, it sounds quite like Rav's case, right? And you could resist. If you resist, then they'll kill you. So, and Rava said that you have to resist, right? You have to give up your life not to kill somebody else. Taisa says, in this case, you wouldn't have to, because I don't really know if I have to give up my life to kill somebody else. It's just that since I don't know, so I have to remain passive. Mm-hmm. Over here, I'll remain passive, and the guy will do what they'll do, and the result will be that he'll be dead and I'll be alive. That's okay. There's no halacha that I have to be dead and he be alive. The halacha is that since we can't decide who should be dead, so you have to remain passive, and whatever the guy will do, they'll do. Whatever happens, happens. So that's Taisa says Yehargal Yavar Mitam Safek. Now, but there's another answer to the kasha, to the question of good, my blood is no redder than his, but his blood is also redder, no redder than mine. Rashi is a different answer to this question. Rashi, if you read the Rashi carefully, it's in Sanhedrin and also in Psachim, Rashi consistently has a little bit of a more complex way to read the Maichazis. You know, Maichazis means that you're supposed to picture a scale, you put my blood on one side and his blood on the other side, and they even out. So now, Rashi says, that's true, but that's not really the scale that we use to decide what to do. The important scale is that you have the Avera on one side and a Matir on the other side, and you see which one outweighs. So for example, somebody has a heart attack in Shul on Shabbos, right? And we want to raise them to the hospital. So on the one hand, it's the Chil Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Malacha, right? That's weighs down one side of the scale. On the other hand, it's Pekuach Nefesh. And the Torah told us that Pekuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. So the Matir outweighs the Avera. By Ritzicha, so you have the same, right? Somebody came to this guy, right, and said that if you don't kill him, we'll kill you. So he wants to save his life. So right, he wants to do the Avera, but on the other hand, it's an Avera, Leisirtzach. So let's start like we started before. You'll put the Avera on one side of the scale, that's Leisirtzach. Not supposed to do that. Now, on the other side of the scale, I want to put, but Pekuach Nefesh. To that, Rava said, meaning, your blood's no better than his blood, so your blood and his blood are equal. Which, and since if you do the Maisa, so you live and he dies, and if you don't do the Maisa, he lives and you die, so either way, one person lives and one person dies, so there's no net gain in Nefashos by doing the Avera, so there's no Pekuach Nefesh. Pekuach Nefesh means, I'll do the Avera if it'll save a life. I'll drive somebody to the hospital on Shabbos because it'll save a life. Over here, if I do the Avera, it won't save a life. It'll just switch which life is living and which one is dying, but it won't save a life. So there's no Pekuach Nefesh. Right. So what you're left with is on one side of the scale, there's Leisir Tzach, and on the other side of the scale, there's nothing. What do we always put on the other side of the scale? You have on one side of the scale, Chil Shabbos, or on one side of the scale, you have Machal Sasurex. And the other side of the scale, we put Pekuach Nefesh. But over here, there's no Pekuach Nefesh. Maichazis eliminates the Pekuach Nefesh consideration. Once the Pekuach Nefesh consideration is eliminated,
because one
so now,
is going to die anyway.
Right, because one of them is going to die anyway. So now we have an Avera with no Matir. Now, an Avera with no Matir obviously is Aser. Which means that according to Rashi, it's not a Yehargva Yavra Mitam Safek, and it's because we don't really know what to do. So if you don't know what to do, you should remain passive. According to Rashi, we know what to do. We have a very clear psak that Leisir Tzach is doicha your life. And so I would call Yehargal Yavar Mitam Vadai. So that's the machloikas Rashi and Taisis here. Is it Yehargal Yavar Mitam Safik or Yehargal Yavar Mitam Vadai?
So if two people are in the desert and there's only one bottle of water?
Yeah.
You have to for yourself.
Yeah, you're not killing
somebody. No. In that case, the Gemara that you're referring to, maybe we'll bring in the Shir, maybe not. But I would just point out an important clarification. I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding about that Gemara. It wasn't that there was a bottle of water, and it was a question of who was going to grab it. One person owned the bottle of water, and the question was whether he's allowed to keep it or does he have to give it away. On that, there was a halacha chayecha koydman. So that's quite different than these cases. Now,
well,
if we have...
The water will go back and forth. Because that person's got the obligation to give it to...
Excellent point. Yeah, in the Chazon Yiddish has a piece where he makes that point that if you were to say that you have to give it, so then it'll keep on going back and forth and back and forth. I guess. He said then the water will spill. Okay, well, let's leave that Gemara aside for now. Definitely, it's a very relevant Gemara. We might bring it in later in the Shir, depending on how long we sit here. Or how quickly it goes.
The Torah says lo sirtzav, it's not referring to this type of a lo sirtzav. So this is maybe not an aveira.
Which type? You mean the case with the water?
No. The case where somebody threatens you if you don't kill them.
No, why do you say that?
Because that's not what the Torah is referring to.
He says, don't kill.
Don't kill.
So, yeah, but when
not like this time.
What about Shabbos?
Where your life is threatened.
But when the Torah says, don't do malach on Shabbos.
Right.
Over there, would you say also it doesn't mean in this case? Over there, the halach is you're allowed to do it, but that's because the Torah recognizes pekuach nefesh as having the koyach to be doicha, the iser. There's an iser, and pekuach nefesh is doicha it. So, like, also, we start with the fact that there's an Isser, and yeah, we could say that the Torah allows it if there's a heter of pekuach nefesh. But since, whether you do it or you don't do it, either way, one person is going to die, so that's called there's no pekuach nefesh. And therefore, there's no matter on the...
That's not considered a
Isser. Okay.
The threat is to kill out the family if they won't kill that person. So now it's fighting
it. Yeah, that's a good shayla. So what about if there's more people on one side? So maybe we'll come to that also. That's definitely an important part of the Lesir Tzach. So yeah, I'm not starting with that though. The short answer, the Rambam says, Achol Pikein. The Rambam says that you're still not allowed to do it. And the Kesef Mishnah brings down, and they ask on the Rambam, how does that stem with the Svar of my Chazes? So maybe we'll come to that. Probably not in today's year. But it's a good shayla.
Those shaylas, unfortunately, happened during the Holocaust when the Nazis forced parents to kill their children. Right. And
or give up somebody from the
barracks. Is that a case of Lois Herzog? I can't imagine that being a case of Lois Herzog.
Right, they some horrible...
Yeah, you know, there's a sefer of Shas HaTshuvas that collects these Shas. We were Ephraim Ushri. He was in the Kovna ghetto, and he was one of the Rabbanim there. And some Shas were asked to him, or and some were just situations that he observed. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, the story behind the sefer is that he wrote some Shuvas at the time and buried it somewhere in the ghetto.
He buried it in the Kovna ghetto in milk cans.
Uh-huh.
And some of them they were able to find during construction. I think he had three.
Okay.
That wasn't the Covenant Ghetto.
No, that was...
That was the Warsaw Ghetto.
He was... I'm pretty sure he was in the Covenant Ghetto.
But, yeah,
no, he was referring to
about a different city.
There was also cans, though.
You're talking about the Piasetzna? The Piasetzna? A similar story. That he was in the Warsaw Ghetto.
Right.
But they put the can... They found the can. He found
the Oynik Shabbos Group. That's what it was called. The Oynik Shabbos Group. Was in the Warsaw Ghetto.
Okay, but I think this is a similar story. If I'm not mistaken, he buried it and he came back later and he found them. But the published Shuvas are much more extensive than what he wrote then. But the Shilas are Shilas that he really saw, and he has these kinds of Shilas over there. Maybe for another day. Anyway, but for now what we have is that
Rashi
and Tosfos. Machloik is whether the Harg Val Yavar of Ritzicha is Mitam Vadi or Mitam Safek. Now, does it make an afkamina? Not much, because both of them agree that the halacha is that you have to give up your life not to kill somebody.
Shalak Bimakim is a safer.
Yes, right, Mimamakim, right. They both agree, halacha Maisa, that you have to give up your life not to kill somebody. They may disagree in the case that I mentioned before, what I call the cannonball case, but that's really very debatable whether anyone really considers that a case of Ritzicha. So it could be that even Rashi would agree that you don't have to. But what the real nafkamina, the big nafkamina, there's actually a very significant difference that comes from these two understandings of the Svar of Maichazes. But a little bit surprisingly, the nafkamina is not by Ritzicha. The nafkamina is by Gilui Arayos. There's three aveiros that are yihar bal yavar. Avodah zarah gilas shvichas dam. Avodah zarah is learned from vavtas Hashem alekecha b'chol vavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'idecha. Avodah zarah. Shvichas damim is based on the svara of Maichazes. Gilui Arayos. From where do we know the Gilui Arayos is yihar bal yavar? So the Gemara says based on the pasuk that says lo nara leisasa davar, a nara meirasa who is attacked by a man and Evbia, so she's not at fault. Kikasha Yokum Ish Ari Ehu Ritzoche Nefesh Kena Davrazeh. Because this is just like a case of murder, just like when somebody murders someone else, so the victim is blameless. So over here also, we consider her to be blameless because she's the victim. Meaning, even though she could have resisted, and even though... the Pasuk says there, right, that's why what the Gemara says, so let's just back up a step. What the Gemara says is based on that Pasuk, there's a hekesh, there's a comparison equating Shvichas Damim, that's murder, and Gilui Arayis. What's true for one is true for the other. And that's where we learn that Gilui Arayis is a Harag Bal Yavar. So Taisus says the most extraordinary chiddush. Taisus says, Gilui Arayis, we say Harag Bal Yavar, right? Everybody knows that. That's a well-known halacha. Gilui Arayis is a Harag Bal Yavar. Every case of Gilui Arayis has two people, right? The man and the woman. She's an Eishes Ish. They're related to each other, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, right? Whatever case of Gilui Arayis, there's two people, and they're both doing an Aveira. It's any case of Gilui Arayis is an Aveira for both of them. But the Aveira is not done the same way by the two parties, right? The Aveira of Gilui Arayis is different for a man than it is for a woman. For a man, the Aveira is to do a Maisa Bia. For a woman, the Aveira is to allow the Maisa Bia to happen because she's not active, right? The Gemara uses the expression Karka Ilam. Karka Ilam meaning just like when a farmer goes out to his field, so there's some sort of interaction between the farmer and his field, but the field is not doing anything active. The field... It gets plowed, it gets planted, and the farmer's doing all the activity. So the Isha's role in Bia is like Karka Olam, which means it's Shevi Altasa. Zok Toisvis, Chazal said that Gilui Arayis is Yiharag Bal Yavar, but I'd like to propose, Zok Toisvis, that that's only true for 50% of the population, for men and not for women. Because the whole makar that Gilui Arayis is Yiharag Bal Yavar is from Shvichas Damim, because of the hekesh between the two. And by Shvichas Damim, we never really decided that you are supposed to give up your life. We really say we can't decide whether or not you're supposed to give up your life. And since we can't decide, so Shevi Altasi, you have to remain inactive. So the whole din of Yehorg Val Yavar by Shvichas Damim was to remain passive. And if we learn from there to Gilui Arayis, so then by Gilui Arayis, we're not really going to say that the Aveira is Yehorg Val Yavar. We're going to say that to do that, to be active in the Aveira is Yehorg Val Yavar. So for a man, Gilui Arayis is Yehorg Val Yavar. But for a woman who's Karka Olam, for her the Gilui Arayis is not going to be Yehorg Val Yavar. And therefore, Zok Toisvis, an Isha has never has a din of Yehorg Val Yavar for Gilui Arayis. Even if she's an Eishes Ish and somebody's threatening her and saying that if you resist, I'm going to kill you, she doesn't have to resist. Because the whole din is learned from Shvichas Damim, and Shvichas Damim doesn't have a din of Yehorg Val Yavar where there's no Ma'isa.
How about the Halach of Soika? That was Kinna, it turned out to be true. Right. She dies.
Right. No, a woman can be Chayev Misa for Gilui Arayis. A woman just isn't Yehorg Val Yavar, she doesn't have to give up her life.
I'm sorry.
But now, this is all true according to Tosis's understanding of Maichazes. According to the other understanding, which we were calling Rashi, but just to give it a little more of the context, Reb Chaim makes a diuk in the Rambam. And when the Rambam brings down the halacha that Gilui Arayis is Yiharag Bal Yavar, he never says only for men and not for women. And you can't say it goes without saying. I mean, this is such a major ukimta. Mamash divides the halacha by 50%, right? To say that it's only true for men and not for women. The Rambam never says it. So Reb Chaim says he clearly held that it's true even for women. How does he get around Tosfos' math? Tosfos said that the whole din is learned from Shvichas Damim, and by Shvichas Damim it's only Mishum Shevi Al Taseh. So by Gilui Arayis, it also has to be limited to not, you know, you have to give up your life not to do a Maisa, but if it's B'Shevi Al Taseh, then you should be allowed. So why did the Rambam think that there's a Yehorg Val Yavar even for women? Zok Reb Chaim, because the Rambam learned the other Pshat in Maichazes, what we were calling before Rashi's Pshat, although Reb Chaim doesn't attribute it to Rashi. But what we were calling Rashi's Pshat, that Maichazes doesn't mean that since the two bloods are equal, we can't decide what to do. Since the two bloods are equal, there's no Pikuach Nefesh. And if there's no pikuach nefesh, you're left with the aveira of leisirtzach. So we know what to do. You can't do the aveira. You can't do leisirtzach without a heter. You can't do any aveira without a heter. And since there's no heter on this aveira, so you're left with the aveira, and it's yehorg val yavar. If that's true, then that's both for men and for women, because that doesn't have to be with a maisa. It's only because Taisa said that it's really mishum safek. So therefore shevi al tasa adif. And so a man has to give up his life or for Ritzicha, anyone would have to give up their life. When it comes to Bia, Gilui Arayis, a man has to give up his life but not a woman. But if it's Mitam Vadai, if the Yehorg Val Yavar by Ritzicha was Mitam Vadai, so it has nothing to do with Shevi Al Tasa, it has nothing to do with doing a Maisa or not doing a Maisa, so then it'll be both men and women. So this question of whether a woman has to sacrifice her life to avoid a Gilui Arayis is toloi on the two pshatim in Ritzicha, in why does the Yehar Galgavim by Ritzicha. And so that's where this Machalikus Rashi Taisa seems to make a big nafkamina. Now, Mahalacha, although, like I said, the Rambam does not differentiate between men and women, but in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah brings it down. The Ramah brings down that a woman's role in the bia is considered karka oilam, and there's no yihar gbal yava for that, unless it's being demanded that she play a more active role. But if it's just being, if her compliance is just b'shevi al taseh, so the Ramah says that we paskin then that that she doesn't have to sacrifice her life for that. Which is very important to halacha l'maisa. I mean, I'm not saying it should be added to the curriculum in Beis Yaakov's, but l'maisa, it's a worthwhile thing for, you know, Rachmana Litzlan, right? Such a thing should never, ever happen, but such things do sometimes happen. And Bas Yisrael should know, right? Because, you know, every Bas Yisrael knows that, you know, there's three Averis that are Harag Bal Yavar, and if Rachmana Litzlan, somebody is caught, you know, grabbed in a dark alley in such a situation, they might very well think to themselves, okay, this is what I was taught about. Gilui Arayis is the Harag Bal Yavar. But that's not the halacha. Halacha is that under the Ishud's role is considered karka olam, and therefore it's not yehar gal yavar.
Isn't the karka olam referred to a gaita?
To what?
To a gaita.
No.
But she's a karka.
That's the Gemara with Esther Amalka. It says she was karka.
Right, the Gemara says about Esther Amalka. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Okay, now, here's an interesting shayla. We said that... Right, murder is a har gal yavar. So if they come and they say, "I want you to go kill Pliny, otherwise we're going to kill you," so you have to refuse. And if they kill you, they kill you, right? Whether, like Rashi said, because there's no heter on the avera, or like Taisa said, because we can't really decide what to do. Lemaisi, you're not allowed to go pull the trigger on Shimon, and Reuben has to allow himself to get killed. There's a very interesting case that's a little bit of a spin-off on this. The goyim come to Reuben and they say, "We want to go kill Shimon." Okay, Reuben says, "Fine, you know,
go ahead.
Good luck. What does that have to do with me?" "Well, we don't have any bullets. We have a gun, but we have no bullets. We need you. You have bullets. We need you to give us the bullets so that we can go and kill him.
Otherwise, we'll kill you.
Otherwise, we'll kill you because we have one bullet. we should clarify. We do have one bullet, so we could use that on you, but we need more than that to get to Shimon, so we need your bullets to get to Shimon. So we'll kill you if you don't give us your ammunition." Does Reuben have to sacrifice his life for this? How do we look at this case? So you know, on a very superficial glance, the first thought is that Reuben is deciding between his blood and Shimon's blood. If he gives them the bullets, then Shimon's going to die. If he doesn't give them the bullets, then he's going to die. So there's a Maichazis. But, very significant difference in that over here, the Aveira that he's being asked to do is not an Aveira of Ritzicha. What Aveira is this? What would you call this Aveira? Somebody wants to kill Shimon, which is an Aveira, but he can't kill Shimon because he doesn't have enough bullets. So he wants you to provide him with the bullets to go do his Aveira. He's asking you to facilitate his Aveira. Grama, no, there's a better word. There is a lav in the Torah that goes on exactly such a thing, facilitating somebody's aveira. Minayin, the Gemara says, minayin, that it's aser, right? The aser lahayshit kais yayin lenazir. That we learn from the pasuk of lifnei iver that you're not allowed to provide the material for somebody else's aveira. If somebody's making a barbecue and he's grilling burgers and he says, I need cheese to put onto these burgers, right? Which is an aveira, regardless of whether he's going to eat it, right? To cook. Grill the Bas B'chav together is an Aveira. So he comes to you, you have cheese, and he says, "I'll kill you if you don't give me the cheese." Well, before that, he says, "Give me the cheese. I want cheese to put on these burgers." So that's awesome. They're right. So that's a lab of Lifnei Iver. You can't facilitate his Bishul Bas B'chav. Now, what if he would say, "Okay, but I'll kill you if you don't give me the cheese"? So of course you're allowed to give it to him, because Lifnei Iver, Lifnei Mechshel, is not one of the Shalosh Chamurais. You don't have to give up your life not to be matched with somebody about the Bahalov. Over here, over there in that Bas B'chalov case, Pikuach Nefesh is Doichet L'Lifnei Iver. Over here, though, it's also this Pikuach Nefesh is L'Lifnei Iver, but it's not L'Lifnei Iver of Bas B'chalov. it's less than iver of Ritzicha. Does that make it worse? So there's a Ramban who discusses a very similar case. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Nafayan Dalad talks about the case of the Gemara's Lashon is kvake v'dimuniki, two very unusual words, but what it was some kind of a torch or furnace or heater, some such kli that the goyim on their special holiday, let's say once a year, they came around confiscating it from all the houses. They needed them all in the base of Avodah Zarah. It was either they worshipped the fire or they needed the fire for their worship, and everybody that had these kalim in their house, these heaters, let's call it, would be confiscated and brought to the base of Avodah Zarah. So they came knocking on your door. It was, you know, it was holiday eve, and they would knock on your door and they say, okay, everyone has to give their kvakav dimuniki to us to bring to the base of Avodah Zarah, and they were very insistent on it. You weren't allowed to resist. If you resist, you die. So the Gemara says, so you give it to them. You're allowed to give it to them. So the Ramban says, let's analyze the situation. They weren't asking for them to cook bas b'chalav, right? Right. They were using it for Avodah Zarah. So why isn't it Yehar V'Yavar? Mm-hmm. And for the Ramban, because they weren't asking you to worship Avodah Zarah, they were just asking you to help them worship Avodah Zarah. They were going to worship Avodah Zarah. They were Goyim. But all they wanted from you was to give them the materials that they needed so that they could worship Avodah Zarah. So Ramban, that's just a lot of Lifnei Iver. And Lifnei Iver, that's not one of the Shalosh Chamuros. You don't have to give up your life for that.
Applies to a guy, Lifnei Iver?
For the Shemus is B'nai Noyach, it does. Mm. Right, one of the examples that the Gemara gives for Lifnei Iver is Shalai Yeshit Iver Menachai Leben Noyach. So, yeah, that applies to a guy. So the Ramban says that Lifnei Iver, you know, the truth is this Ramban is a Chiddush, that it's really a Chiddush on the topic of Lifnei Iver. I think we've talked about this once before, that there's really two ways of looking at the Lab of Lifnei Iver. What's wrong with, let's say, if I cause, let's say I give cheese to the guy that wants to make a cheeseburger, is the avla, is the pshat that I'm being over on the isser of basar b'chalav? I'm not doing it myself, I'm helping somebody else, but like on a level two, it's a tier two avera of basar b'chalav, or is the avera more like a benadam l'chaveri avera? The avera is that I'm harming somebody, I'm harming him by helping him do an avera. And if the pshat is that I'm harming him, then it doesn't really matter which avera. It's not considered part of the avera that he's going to end up doing. It's an independent isser of lifnei iver. Much like in the first way of looking at it, that it's like a violation of basar b'chalav. It's like a low-level violation of basar b'chalav. So then you might have said that while being machshel somebody in basar b'chalav, that's not yehar v'yavar. But if you're machshel somebody in avodah zarah, that is a Yehar V'Yavar, because even though I'm not actually worshiping Avodah Zarah, but by facilitating Avodah Zarah, that's a tier two violation of Avodah Zarah. And there's a halacha that to violate Avodah Zarah with a tier two violation, or Gilei Raos with a tier two violation, is Yehar V'Yavar. That's the halacha of Abizrayu of Avodah Zarah, Abizrayu of Gilei Raos. We had, you may remember, I think not long ago, we talked about that very, very striking Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Hey, where somebody was also believed by Tina Lahu Isha. Somebody was just dying to have Hana with a certain Isha. So much so the doctor said he's going to die if he doesn't. And the Chacham said, absolutely not, under no circumstances. And then the doctor said, what if he doesn't have Bia? What if he just has other lower level types of Hana? Tamar Lefon of Aruma, to stop Imay Me'achari Hageder. And the Chacham said, no, nothing doing, we're not going to allow anything. Yehar Gval Yavar. So that Gemara demonstrated that even lower level violations within the category of Avodah Zarah is also Yehar Gval Yavar. Lower level violations within the category of Avodah Zarah, we talked about, I think, at some point, that Vakol Misrabim Chutz Me'atzei Asherah. You're not allowed to use Atzei Asherah even as a refuah, even if it's going to save your life, because it's a violation within the category of Avodah Zarah. That's Abizrai of Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to do that. So a good argument could have been made that to facilitate somebody else's Avodah Zarah is considered Abizrai of Avodah Zarah and it's Yehar Gval Yavar. The Ramban comes along and says, no, The Ramban says this is just the Aveira of Lifnei Iver. This is not an Avodah Zarah kind of Aveira at all. Seemingly, he's saying that Lifnei Iver is not viewed as a low-level violation of the Aveira that you're causing. It's just, I mean, just like when you stick out your foot and trip somebody. So what's wrong with that? It's just that you harmed him. You did something nasty to him. So when you cause him to do an Aveira also, that's an Aveira, is that you cause something nasty to him. That's the Aveira. It's not because of the Shabbos, the Basa B'chalov, or the Avodah Zarah, per se. And therefore, it's not Yehareg V'Yavar. So that's what the Rambam paskin, that a Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah is not Yehareg V'Yavar. That's why you're allowed to give the Kfak V'Dimuniki, those heaters, to the Goyim on their holiday. There's nothing wrong with it. Not that there's nothing wrong with it, but it's b'makom pikuach nefesh, it's mutter.
It makes sense from the words.
Maybe
it's not a
tier 2
or something. It looks like it's a separate thing. Don't hurt somebody.
Okay. Okay, there is... Okay, when we had a shiur once on that topic, we pointed out there are some details that indicate the other way. But we're not going to go through that today. So here we have a Ramban that stated explicitly that a lifnei iver of avodah zarah is not yehareg v'yavar. The case that we began with, where they come and they say, we'll kill you if you don't give us the bullets to go kill somebody else, I called that a lifnei iver of retzicha. And l'chera, the two are very comparable. It's the shalosh chamuras, avodah zarah, gilui shvichas damim. We know those are Yehareg V'Yavar. We know even the Abizrayu of those are Yehareg V'Yavar. But what about the Lifnei Iver of those Averis? So if I found the Ramban, black and white, who addressed this Shaila in the context of Avodah Zarah, and said that Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah is not Yehareg V'Yavar, so I would expect that he would say also that Lifnei Iver of Ritzicha is not Yehareg V'Yavar. There is, but the actual case that I talked about comes from, it's a discussion in Rishayim, the Ritva brings it down. And the Ritva says that you do have to give up your life. If the Goyim come and they say that we'll kill you if you don't give us the weaponry to go kill somebody else, you have to give up your life for that, because my chazat dami dachsu maktfei. And he says that he heard that from Mimayri B'Shem Rabbi, my master in the name of his Rebbe, taught me that you have to give up your life for that. So, okay, we could hear it as an open question. Like I said, it's Lifnei Iver, but you could view Lifnei Iver of Ritzicha as a Ritzicha-related Avodah Zarah. You could view it as something completely separate. So the Ramban told us about Avodah Zarah that is not Yehareg V'Yavar. Fine, that's Ramban's opinion. The Ritva says that he heard from his Mayri B'Shem Rabbi that it is Lifnei Iver. Fine, he could argue on the Ramban and hold that it is Lifnei Iver. I'd be very comfortable calling it a machlekes Ritva and Ramban, except for one problem. The Ritva says he's quoting me Mayri B'Shem Rabbi. The Mayri of the Ritva is the Ra'ah, and the Rabbi of the Ra'ah is the Ramban. It's clear, it doesn't mean anybody else. The Ritva is, even though the Ritva had two Rebbeim, it might be a little bit unclear, who, when he says Mayri, usually means the Ra'ah, but it could mean the Rashba. But it's not going to do us any good, because the Rashba, B'Shem Rabbi, that also leads back to the Ramban. So he's definitely quoting a Ramban. So the Ramban once taught to his Talmidim that the Lifnei Iver of Ritzicha is Yehareg V'Yavar, even though the Ramban holds that the Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah, the Ramban writes himself, is not Yehareg V'Yavar. So now there's a bit of a stira between the two. Or how do you reconcile these two things? So I think it's... I think the answer is probably that Shvichas Damim is different. Ritzicha is different, where the reason is because of my chazis. So that makes it harder to be matir, the Lifnei Iver. But I would say a more precise way of explaining this, to really give it over the lumdus, based on what we were saying before, what we called Rashi Svara in my chazis. How Rashi explained the Svara of my chazis, that since your blood and his blood are equal, so there's no Lifnei Iver, there's no Pikuach Nefesh here altogether. And if there's no Pikuach Nefesh, there's nothing to be matter the Aveir of Leis Yirtzach. So there's something very interesting that comes out from that explanation. That means that if there's no Pikuach Nefesh here altogether,
right,
then you, it's not just that you can't be matulei sirtzach because that's such a chomer avera, that's one of the three strictest averas in the whole Torah. You can't be matir any avera. You can't even be matir eating machalas asurais if there's no heter pekuach nefesh. You're not allowed to eat nevela unless it's pekuach nefesh. Pekuach nefesh is the matir. But right, chil Shabbos, right, chil Shabbos is a big avera. But right, chil Shabbos, you're not allowed to be machal Shabbos unless it's pekuach nefesh. Pekuach nefesh is the matir. So pekuach nefesh is the matir for most averas in the Torah. When it comes to leitzirtzach, the way Rashi explained, it's not that pekuach nefesh is not great enough to be matir because leitzirtzach is such a big avera. Rather, what we said was there is no pekuach nefesh, since if you do the avera, the other guy will be killed. If you don't do the avera, you'll be killed. So either way, somebody's going to be killed. So in Hashem's balance of nefashos, it comes out the same. So there's no pekuach nefesh here. Without a heter pekuach nefesh, you can't do any avera. So you can't do lifnei iver either. Even if this is nothing worse than giving cheese to the guy making a barbecue, but even that you wouldn't be allowed to do unless it was a heter pekuach nefesh. Now, if the guy says, give me the cheese or else I'll shoot you, so then you do have a heter pekuach nefesh, because that's a clear-cut pekuach nefesh. If I resist, he'll shoot me. If I comply, he won't shoot me. Everybody will live. The people at the barbecue will eat basa b'chol, but everybody will live. So there this pekuach nefesh. Pekuach nefesh is matir, the basa b'chol, the lifnei iver of basa b'chol. But where the guy says, I'll shoot you if you don't give me the ammunition, so now it's not a question of whether there's enough of a, whether the pikuach nefesh could be matir lifnei iver. There's no pikuach nefesh. Because someone's going to die either way. If there's no pikuach nefesh, you can't be matir any avera. And since you clearly have an avera here, good, the Ramban said, it's not considered a big avera, it's not avera dezer, it's not a shvichas damim, it's just lifnei iver. It's a small avera. But it's still an avera. You need a pikuach nefesh to be matir it. And if my chazis dami dachsu mektvei means that there's no pikuach nefesh over here, so that can't be matir anything. Therefore, the lifnei iver of ritzicha will be yehar v'yaver, even though the lifnei iver of avodah zarah, or for that matter, probably also let's say the lifnei iver of avodah zarah, the Ramban said that's not yehar v'yaver, but the lifnei iver of shvichas damim, the Ramban says that is yehar v'yaver. Right, so it's based on Rashi's Hezber in the Maichazes. Now, okay, to switch tracks a little bit, we're continuing to talk about Ritzicha, Leisirtzach, but we were just referring before to the idea of Abizrayu, and I mentioned that there's two Gemaras that we find about Abizrayu. One about the guy that was also believed by Tina, and he had to give up his life not to have any Hanah with the Erevam. And the Gemara about Kol Masrapim, Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, where you have to give up your life not to even get Hana from the wood that was used for Avodah Zarah. So in these two cases, we see the din that we call, that the Rishonim call Abizrayu, which means that if something is related to the Shalish Chamurais, it's a Harig Bal Yavar. Even if you're not being over the full version of the Shalish Chamurais, of the Avodah Zarah, the Gilei Rais, but if it's related to that, it's a Harig Bal Yavar. Now, when the Rishonim bring down this rule, the Ramban, the modern terrorist Adam says it this way, and the Shulchan Aruch, also the Machaber and Shulchan Aruch, he says that the Abizrayu of any of the three, there are three Shalish Chamurais, and the Abizrayu of any of those three, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rais, or Shvichas Damim, is the Harig Val Yavar. So our shir is about Shvichas Damim today. I'm wondering, what's the case, is there a case, of Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim? The other two, we have cases in the Gemara. There's the Atzei Asherah that's used for refuah, that's Abizrayu of Avodah Zarah. There's the guy that wanted Lasaprima Me'achar Yageder or Lama Lefan of Aruma, and otherwise he was going to die from the urge. So that's Abizrayu of Gilei Rais. Is there such a thing as Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim?
The cannonball case.
What?
The cannonball case.
Interesting. The cannonball case.
You're killing it.
Is that a lower level lav? Is it a lav at all?
Not the bullet. Cannonball. Drop him. Allowing somebody interesting, to throw him in.
Okay, interesting possibility that, Taisa said that such a case would not be a Harig Val Yavar, because even for real Shvichas Damim, it's only a Harig Val Yavar if it's with a Maitza. And over there was no Maitza. So therefore, Taisa said that can't be. I mean, the Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim can't be worse than Shvichas Damim Mamish, and Shvichas Damim is only Harig Val Yavar when there's a Maisa.
Well,
So there's a well-known piece. So there's something very creative in Rabbi Yoni writes in Shari Tshuva that we all know the Gemara. Noyach loyla adam lahapal asma lekiv shana eish al yalbim paneich averi berabim. That it's better to allow yourself to be killed rather than to go embarrass somebody in public. What does the Gemara mean when it says it's better to let yourself get killed? So one might read the Gemara, and it doesn't really mean that literally. That's not a psak halacha. It's just a way, right? It's an exaggeration. It's a way of showing you hesayiris. You know how bad it is? The Meiri says that. The Meiri says, he sounds like that. He says, derech ha'ara amru, ha'ara like a lashon of hesayiris. To be a person to understand how bad it is to embarrass somebody, it says, imagine you getting thrown into a kivshon eish. That sounds bad. This is even worse than that. But it wasn't meant as a psak halacha. La halacha. No, there's only three others that are heard by Yavar, and this is not one of them. So if you really, to save your life, you'd be allowed to. That would be the poshut reading of the Gemara.
There is another one. Doing something by Farhesia.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. Let's leave this for now.
What is it doing? What? Farhesia.
Any afilu mitzvah kala, afilu mitzvah kala. Rabbi Yoni says in Shari Tshuva that no, the Gemara means it exactly the way it says. It's a real yehar v'yavar. Where does it come from? It's not avodah zarah. It's not gilei ra'is. It's shvichas damim. It's not mamish shvichas damim in its fullest form. It's abizrayu of shvichas damim. You make somebody feel bad. It's a little bit of taking away his nefesh. And just like an abizrayu of gilei ra'is is yehar v'yavar, this is an abizrayu of shvichas damim. That's also yehar v'yavar. That's a chiddush of Rabbeinu Yoina. Do we paskin like that? So on the one hand, you know, Rabbeinu Yoina says the Meiri says not like that. There's a Tosfos that agrees. Somewhat, the reason halacha with Rabbeinu Yoina, Tosfos and Sota Daf Yud seems to consider it halacha lemaitza, that yes, it's yehar v'yavar.
We're in trouble if that's the case.
Okay.
That's right, we're in trouble.
Okay, we have to try harder. But, I mean, it's not so shchiach that you have an actual case of you know, where you have a choice to give up your life. You have to decide whether to give up your life or cause somebody embarrassment.
That means we're doing murder all the time.
Right. It's meant to give us a sense of the severity of it. So for that, I mean, even the Meiri agrees. At the very least, you're supposed to get that from the Gemara. Yeah, that's a very, very serious thing. And a person should never, ever do it under any circumstances. What about under these circumstances where you're going to get killed otherwise? So that's there, Rabbeinu Yoina and Taisa say, yeah, even so, you're still never allowed to do it. The Meiri sounds like you are allowed to do it. If it was just these Rishonim, we would say that Rabbeinu Yoina and Taisvis carry more weight in halacha than the Meiri, generally speaking. But there's another consideration, and that is that in Shulchan Aruch, there's no mention of it. In Shulchan Aruch, on the contrary, it says all averus in the Torah are yavar v'al yahari, except for avodah zarah, gilui ra'is, and shvichas damim. And it doesn't say malam paneich averi berabim. And it doesn't say, and that's included in shvichas damim. I mean, Rabbi Yoina said that, but in the Shulchan Aruch and the Neis Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't sound like they're going with that lahalacha. Is there something else that the Shulchan Aruch?
Is that Rabbi Yoina?
Well, it's not mamash das yachid. Tosfos also says like that, but the Shulchan Aruch. I'm just pointing out that the Shulchan Aruch does not bring it down. Another possible, you know, a possible case that could be suggested is the one that we were just talking about, where somebody says, "I'll kill you if you don't give me the ammunition." Maybe that's Mishnah Bezrayu of, even though that's really a different lav. It's lefne iver. But maybe that's what when the Rishonim say that Abizrayu of Shvichas Damim is Yehar V'al Yavar, maybe they mean that case. But maybe the most likely case, or set of cases, there's a whole daf of Gemara, Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Zayin, that it's really dangerous to learn. Because it's a whole bunch of things that a person could do to murder somebody without being liable. The Gemara says that let's say you take a guy and you talk and you no that you're very liable, but let's say you take a person and you tie him up. You tie his hands and feet and you immobilize him. Okay, that's not a sichan to anything, right? Just leave him here. But then you go out, you know, let's say, you know, you do that in the shul, and they're only, you know, it only gets open Shabbos. So he'll be there for the next 7 days. By the time they come back and find him, 7 days from now, he'll be dead. So that, you killed him, but you didn't do a Maiser Ritzicha, your potter. You're not Chayavis and Beistin. Another case the Gemara mentions is, let's say, you throw a guy into a dungeon. The dungeon has a ladder, though. So, or let me make the case a little bit better. You shoot an arrow at someone, but the guy is holding a shield. So as long as he has that shield, he's not vulnerable to the arrow. But then you run ahead. I don't know how you do that so fast ahead of the arrow, but that's the case. You run ahead and you pull away the shield. And then the arrow kills him. So the Gemara says, we can't really identify any Maiser Ritzicha here. Pulling away a shield is not a Maiser Ritzicha. That's just a removing of a protection. Shooting the arrow at a shield is not a Maiser Ritzicha, because when you shot the arrow, it was just going to hit the shield. There's no Maiser Ritzicha over here. You're Pater. Now, these are all cases that, is when we say Pater, it means Pater Bidei Beistin, V'dinei Masra L'Shamayim. It means Beistin can't prosecute, but when the Torah says Beistin kills, execute somebody who murders, for that you need a real Maiser Ritzicha. It has to be a clearly identifiable Maiser Ritzicha. There's no second degrees, no third degrees, no manslaughters. It has to be a full-fledged Maiser Ritzicha. And in all these cases, you don't have the full-fledged Maiser Ritzicha. But we say, V'dino yimasu l'shamayim, meaning it's a terrible thing to do. He's going to go to Gehenna for it terribly. The Eibishter calls him, considers him a Reitzeach. He's just not Chayiv Misin Beisin. He didn't violate the law in the most full-fledged way. It's not a tier one violation that's prosecutable in Meistin. So this L'chayra, these cases would fall very well into the category of Abizrayu, of Shvich Zanim. I think this Parsha Pshat would be in the category of Abizrayu. Now, I want to end with one last, with a chiddush on the topic of Abizrayu. This idea that the Shalosh Chamuros are really meant as categories and they could be brought in to include lower level averis that are within those three categories. It's the Gemara never says it in, you know, in so many words. The Gemara never speaks out a category called Abizrayu of Gilei Raos or of Adizara, etc. But the Rishonim say it based on the Gemaras that we mentioned before. Right? One about the ultimately Betina and one about Bakal Masrapim. Those two Gemaras are the Makar of this idea, and the Ramban and many Rishonim after the Ramban, they even before the Ramban, the Baal Amar, they say this idea that Abizrayu of the Shalosh Chamuros is Yehar Gval Yavar. If you look in the Rambam never indicates, he never alludes to such a halacha, the Abizrayu of the Shalosh Chamuros. He just says that there are three Averis that are Yehar Gval Yavar, the others are not Yehar Gval Yavar. He doesn't mention the halacha of Abizrayu. Chayr, you can't very well deny it, because we mentioned that there's two Gemaras, right? There's the Gemara of Ultimately with Tina and the Gemara that for Kalmas Rapim. So I think, I believe the Rambam does deny it. And if you take a good look at those two Gemaras and how they're brought down or not brought down in the Rambam, you'll notice something very interesting. The Gemara, first the Gemara about the also believe by Tina. We've said over the Gemara a few times, right? The Hu Gavra, the also believe by Tina, La Isa Isha, and the doctor said that he's going to die if he doesn't have Bia with her, and the Chacham said, let him die not have Bia. And then the doctor said he'll die if she can't stand in front of him undressed, and they said, Yamas, let him die, I'll tell him it'll have a ruma. The doctor said he'll die if he doesn't get a chance to talk to her, even from behind the wall, and they said, Yamas, I'll stop him. That's how much we've said over in the past. But then the Gemara says, Pligi ba, I don't remember which Rami Rami, maybe Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Rabbi Acha, there's a machlaikas Amirayim, what was the story? It was a real story. Who was the Isha? Chad Omar Ashes Ish Haisa. V'chad Amar Pnuya Haisa. The Machlaik is whether she was married or she wasn't married. And the Gemara says, Bishlam L'man Amar Ishas Ish Haisa Shapir. If she was an Ishas Ish, then I understand why the Hergal Yavar. But if she was a Pnuya, my Kuli Hai, what's the big deal? Why would the Chacham take such a hard line? And the Gemara says, Shlayuhu b'nei Yisrael prutis. The Gemara has two answers. I'm going to give one. Shlayuhu b'nei Yisrael prutis b'arayis. It really was like a extra halachic, you know, not really based on any legal principle. It was just a feeling that the Chacham had that this is such a bad thing, we can't allow it. Even though there isn't really a legal structure in place that dictates that the halacha should be yehar gval yavar, but we're gonna we're like a hiras shah. We're gonna make a rule that anyone that says this, yes, we're not gonna allow it because it's just such a terrible precedent. If somebody could you know get a license for such behavior, it's a terrible precedent. Shalom you b'nai Yisrael preaches by rights, we just don't allow it. So the Baal Amar points out, the Baal Amar, I mentioned before, the Baal Amar is, I don't know if he's the first or one of the first that articulates this idea of Abizrayu of the Shalosh Chamurais, and that this Gemara is one of the Makairais. But the Baal Amar points out that it's only a Makar in the Manda Amar Eishas Ish Haisa. Because then the Gemara is saying that, yeah, that's the din, that she's an Eishas Ish, so it's Yihar Gval Yavar, even though the Chamam went to really great extremes there. I like to stop even with Me'achari, I get there. And still the Gemara said, that's the din. So then you see there's a din about Zrayu of Gilei Raya being Yihar Gval Yavar. But according to the man to Omar, that Pinuya Haisa, which means there was really no halachic basis to passing this way. It was just a feeling of the Chum had that it would be a bad precedent, and so they said that they were not going to allow it. So then you can't really learn rules from here. So there may not be any halach of Abizrayu of the Shalosh Chamurais. You only see the halacha from this Gemara in the Manda Amar Eishes Eshaisa. If you take a look at the Rambam, Parakei B'chazor, halacha tests, he brings down the whole thing that if somebody is sick and he says he's going to die if he doesn't have a certain woman, so he has to die, even not only not to have bia, but even Shalai Tamil Lefan of a Ruma and Shalai Tzapri Mechari Yegedri, he has to die. And Zok the Rambam, and even if the woman is a Pnuya. So the Rambam Paskin, like the Manda Amar Pnuya Haisa, the Ketzav Mishnah said, the Ketzav Mishnah asked the Kasha, why did the Rambam Paskin like that man to Omar? If the Machlekes in the Gemara, we should say, Sefik Nefashis Lahakel, how did he decide to be so machmir on this Nefashis? Okay, that's a Kasha on the Rambam. But Lamaisa, the Rambam Paskin like the man to Omar Pinuya Haisa. The Baal Amar already told us that in that man to Omar, you don't see from this Gemara that there's a rule of Abizrayu. So maybe the Rambam, for whatever reason, he Paskin that way, but just based on how he brings in that Gemara, he may very well not hold of a rule of Abizrayu. Okay, that's one. But there's still another Gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim that says, "Bakal Mishab Mechus Me'aseh Asherah." Even though you're not really worshiping Avodah Zarah when you nana from an Asherah, so L'Chari, that's also a makar to the idea of Abizrayu. So in that Gemara also, let's look at that Gemara a little more fully. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi." Okay. All right.
Yes.
So the Gemara over there says, "Amr Rabbi Yaakov, Amr Rabbi Yaichin, about Kol Mishab Mechutz Me'atzei Asheira." That's the line that we've said over already. Then the Gemara says, "Ki Asa Ravin Amr Rabbi Yaichin." When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel and he told them over what Rabbi Yaichin had said, he said, "Bakol Mishab Mechutz Me'avoy Dezer Gili Raya Seshvichas Damim." A similar statement, you can use anything for a refuah, right? You're allowed to use medicines even if they're not kosher, just not if it's one of the Shalosh Chamurais. So there's two versions of Rabbi Yechanan's statement. One says Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, one says Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, one says Chutz Me'atzei. What's the difference between them? Is there a machlaikis here? The partial pshat is probably that it's not a machlaikis. The second version with the Rav and Amr Rabbi Yechanan, the Chutz Me'avoy Dezer Gilei Hashvichas Damim, that's theoretically, right? There are three Averis that are Yehar Gval Yavar, so you can't use them for medicine. The other version, I would say the Parshat Peshat is that he was just giving a practical case of medicine. Since when is a Gilei Raya a medicine? Since when are any of these things a medicine, right? Yeah, so we know there is a Gemara that gives an example of Gilei Raya being used as medicine, but it's a very weird case. You know, it's definitely not covered by insurance. You know, these are not typical medicines. Is there ever a scenario, right? You'll get better by bowing down to an idol. You'll get better by murdering somebody. How is that ever going to be a refuah? So what's a practical refuah that has to do with the Shalosh Chamurais? So Rabbi Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, said, Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, he was giving an example. Okay, that's the Parshat Pshat. Rabbi Yechanan said one thing. There's no machlokes about it. It was said over in two different versions, two different neschois, because one was just giving a concrete example and the other one was just giving the theoretical. But maybe, is it possible to read this Gemara as a machlokes? If you do read it as a machlokes, so what's the machlokes here? Rav Yaakov said the name of Yechon, Makom Mosav Mochutz Me Atzei Asherah. Ravin said the name of Yechon, Makom Mosav Mochutz Me Bezer Gil Ratz Shvichas Damim. So the first thing that strikes me is that Ravin and Rav Yechon had a longer list of things that you can't use. But that's probably not the Machlaikis, because everyone agrees that those three things, everyone agrees that certainly that Shvichas Damim and Gil Ratz are Yehar Gval Yavar. Rav Yaakov wasn't disagreeing with that. But what very well might be the machlekes is that Rabbi Yaakov, who said chutz me'atzei Asheira, his shorter list was not reducing the halacha, but was expanding the halacha, because what he was saying was atzei Asheira, even though that's not real avodah zarah, that's just abizrayu of avodah zarah. Am Rabbi Yaakov, Am Rabbi Yechon, Makom Mosav Mochutz Me'atzei Asheira, he meant to be telling us that you have to give up your life not to use even abizrayu of the shalosh chamurot. Ki asa Rabin Am Rabbi Yechon. No, but kol misrapim chutz me'avodah zarah gili ra'as shvichas damim. You could use any refuah in the world as long as it doesn't touch one of the big three. Meaning, don't worry about abizrayu. The second statement was coming lafuki the chiddush of abizrayu. You could read the it's not mucha to learn it that way, but it's definitely plausible that the two versions of Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yaakov in the name of Rabbi Yechon and Rabin in the name of Rabbi Yechon, were arguing about whether there's a din of abizrayu. Now, how does the Rambam bring down this Gemara in Pesachim Daf Chaf Hei? Brings it down Rabin's way. He brings down, he never says the halacha of Atzei Asherah. Why did he leave out the halacha of Atzei Asherah? I think very likely because he saw it as a machlekes, and he was paskening like Rabin. Why would he pass like Rabin? I would say the easiest answer is probably because of the Lishna Basra. The Rambam usually prefers the Lishna Basra over the Lishna Kama. Another possibility, maybe because Ravin is a more prominent Amayra than Rav Yaakov. We have all the time Ravin saying over things in the name of Rav Yechon, and Rav Yaakov is very rare. I don't know if we have it anywhere else. But for one reason or another, the Rambam decided to go with Ravin's version rather than Rav Yaakov's version, but it wasn't just giving an example, not giving an example. It was Machloik is about the din of Abizrayu. And then the Rambam paskin, like Ravin, that there's no din of Abizrayu. And if that's true, so if we go back to the other Rambam, which now is Lashitasa, right? It's perfectly well Lashitasa, yeah? That's why the Rambam, Paskin, like the Rambam we said before, the way he brings down the halacha of also believe by Tina, he brought it down in such a way that you wouldn't see from there a halacha of Abizrayu. But more than that, we said the Ketzef Mishnah was wondering, why did the Rambam, Paskin, that you have to give up your life even if the girl is not married? If she's not married, you know, so... The Gemara said, why do you have to? The Gemara said, Shalayi b'nai put Sparais. But why the Gemara paskin that way if it's two versions in the Gemara? So it's a suffix. Suffix nefashis lahakal. Why is someone being so strict with our nefashis? That was the case of Mishas Kasha. But now we can answer that the Rambam, the Shitasai, if he held that Rabbi Yaakov and Ravin were arguing about whether or not there's a din of Abizrayu, and he paskins like Ravin that there's no din of Abizrayu, then he has to paskin like the man number Pnuya Haisa. Because in the man number Ne'eshes Ish Haisa, then it comes out that there's a din of Abizrayu. He should paskin like the man number Pnuya Haisa, because then you don't see from there a din of Abizrayu. So these two Rambams, one that surprisingly paskin in the Gemara of ultimately Bettina like the man number Pnuya Haisa, and the other that surprisingly left out the halacha of Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, both of them make sense if we say the Rambam didn't hold of a din of Abizrayu. So that's why I think that this whole halacha that's very accepted among all the Rishonim, the Rambam didn't hold like that.